You know, everybody is now talking about the same incident. We call it the 9-1-1 incident that happens in New York and in Washington, D.C. Don't ever neglect or do not ponder over the consequences of that event. That event is a very crucial event, not only for the economics in the global markets, but it has spiritual, great spiritual implication for the church in the coming days. What you gather when 9-1-1 happens, you know, for one thing, just this week I was with Brother Timothy in Indonesia. So we prophesied 5 things that will happen in the end time upon the country of America. And one of the things we mentioned is that there will be further chastisement from God the Father over that nation. In other words, there will be increased terrorist attacks. And after we mentioned that on Monday, the next day, we have live telecast on CNN that the Attorney General, John Ashcroft, says and confirmed that there will be terrorist attack next week, and today is again confirmed in 7 places in America. That incident is trying to communicate to us a very important thing. And therefore, when I reviewed that situation, I felt that I need to share something that I used to share, but not in great detail. So I wanted to share that with you again to give you a more lasting impression of what will happen in the coming days. And so I will entitle my message, "The Golden Line is Here." The Golden Line is already here. We can subtitle it as God's End Time Agenda. God's End Time Agenda. I'll read to you from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 21 and verse 13. "And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipe a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down." You hear what I say? When the line appear on the face of this earth, and when the line appear in Samaria, and Samaria is one of the places in Israel, he said, what happened? Then he says, "I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipe a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down." I'm telling you, something is going to be wiped out on the face of this earth, and something is going to be turned upside down. You are going to see things that are going to get chaos in the coming days. And you say, why the world get upside down? I tell you, God say, when the light appear, it will go upside down. Hallelujah. Things are not going to get better. Why the golden line is here? I believe in 1999, that year, while in prayer one day, I saw a golden plumb line drop from heaven. It was so glorious, so golden, full of divine light, and it dropped into the center of the earth. When it dropped into the center of the earth, I asked the Lord, "Lord, I don't understand. What are you trying to communicate to me?" And he said, "Son, 3 things, lay it in your heart that it will come." What is that line? Well, in Job 38 and verse 5, he said, "Who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it?" Now, 3 things that the Lord laid on my heart in 1999. He said, firstly, when the plumb line appear on the earth, firstly, the eyes of the Lord is watching over the face of this earth over one issue. Is that in this end time, God is going to raise up the standard and the doctrine of holiness. God is going to remove every crookedness. and strengthen the house of God, and He's going to bring in holiness like never before. The church is going to have a fresh new revelation of holiness, and the church is going to walk in the power of holiness in this last day. That is why the line has come to the face of this earth. The second thing that is going to happen, by the way, when this line appears, not only the standard of holiness, I'm telling you, the doctrine of holiness is coming back, the message of holiness is coming back, red hot message that deals with the flesh of man is coming back, the message of the cross is coming back to the church. Secondly, when the golden plumb line appear on the face of this earth, God spoke and He said, I will manifest the facet of my character as a God of justice and righteousness. I will manifest myself as a God of holiness. God is going to manifest in a very awesome way that the church have never seen the face of God in such a tremendous power. We call it the awe of God. The awe of God has been missing in the church, and God is going to restore this awe back to the church when the plumb line has started to move. And the third thing that will happen, and it was so clear on the afternoon, is the shaking and the judgment of the nation shall begin. He said, once you see the plumb line, son, that's the shaking and the judgment of the nation shall soon begin. When that happened, I thought it would begin in 2000. But until 9/11 incident happened, while in prayer I was praying over the incident, he said, son, the show has begun. I said, Lord, what is that? The judgment of the nation has begun. Because you must understand that America is being raised up as a model for the nations of the world to see. Whatever happened to America will happen to the world. And so when something was shaken in America, it was a sign from the Lord that the judgment of the nation has now begun in the year 2001. That's why the 9/11 incident is a very crucial incident. Now, let me ask the question. Now, if the plumb line is so important, then what is a plumb line? That is a very important question. Now, Isaiah 44, verse 13, it says, the carpenter stretched out his ruler, he marked it out with a line. You see, when a carpenter do his work in the workshop, he will use a ruler and he will mark a straight line, so that when he cut and he saw through the timber wood, it will be a straight cut, right? So therefore, a plumb line is a straight line. If you are in the civil engineering, or you are an architect, you know what a plumb line is all about. Well, if you go to a construction site, you see somebody will have a three tripod stand. And then, in the middle of that tripod stand, there will be a line coming down, or a string coming down. At the end of the string, there will be a very heavy, cone-shaped, silver-like object. It's very heavy. Now, when this object pulls the string, and it weighs down the whole instrument, can you tell me what kind of a line do you have? It's a straight line. Therefore, a plumb line is really a straight line. I remember when I first came to America in 1997, I was invited to stay with a pastor, and he had a huge mansion up on a hill. And he told me, he said, Pastor, do you know this door is a very unique door? I looked at it, I said, there's nothing unique, it's like any other door. He said, no, open. Do you see something? I said, what do I see? I said, just an ordinary entrance. He said, no. Do you know we construct this house like Noah's Ark? He showed me the blueprint, like Noah's Ark. And do you know something? He said, do you know this front entrance is exactly face the north? I said, how do you get this kind of direction? He said, when they were trying to build this house up on top of a hill, what happened is they invited a Christian architect. And they came at night. They drove the van up on top of the hill, and then in the night, starry night, they would take out their instrument and they were observing the sky. And lo and behold, he was disappointed. He packed his instrument and he went home. And he came again the next day, he was disappointed, packed his instrument and went home. Why? Because every night it was a pitch black night without any star. He was looking for a particular star. And on last night he told himself, if tonight, if I can't see the star, I'll call off this project. So on the very last night, he looked up and lo and behold, he saw that star that he was looking for. He saw that northern star. So he quickly put down his tripod stand instrument and he was aiming, synchronized and making alignment with that northern star. And through that tripod stand, that plumb line, he made it a straight line from the star right to the ground and he make a mark, an X. And on the spot where there was an X, they built the front entrance of the house. Therefore, they say, when they open the door, they are facing north. The Bible says in Psalm 75, promotion comes from the north. So that's how they built it. But it was built based on the plumb line. Everything was synchronized in a straight line. And it was marked an X on the ground. A plumb line is a straight line. Now in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 39, it says, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Garib. Not only it is a straight line, a plumb line is a measuring line. A plumb line is a measuring line. You say, measure what? Well, tonight you will know what this plumb line measures in our life. And in fact, it was stated in Ezekiel chapter 40 verse 3 to Ezekiel chapter 42 verse 20. In that three chapter, one of the most prominent words that is repeated over and over and over and over again is the word measure. Oh, they measured the outer court. They measured the holy place. They measured the holy of holies. For three long chapters, they talk about measurement, measurement, measurement. Why? Because it begins in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3 with a vision. He said, behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand. An angel had a line in his hand. And what was he doing? He was measuring Jerusalem. He was measuring the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. In fact, it goes on even right at the end of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 47, in verse 3, you know what it says? He said, when the man, talking about that angel, when that man that had the line in his hand, he went eastward, and he measured it, and it was 1,000 cubic in measure. And the water raised up to the ankle level. And then finally the man again made the second measurement with the line, and it was another 1,000 cubic in measurement. And the water that came up from the threshold of the temple was risen again, another 1,000 measure, and in this time it reaches the knee. And then the man again used the same line and measured it again. Again, another 1,000 cubic. And again, the water level rises up to the waist level. And finally, he wanted to measure again. And lo and behold, it became a river. And the water covered over and above the head of a man. So therefore, a plumb line is not only a straight line, but it's also a measuring line. What does this line measure? Well, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 3. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 3 and 4. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Do you know the book of Isaiah is such a powerful book? This afternoon I was going through more than 12 chapters, and suddenly Lord said, some prophetic counsel for the end time. I saw everything. I said, well, let's keep it for another year. Write all the revelation down. I said, wow, this is going to be a juicy message. But Lord said, not for now. So I wrote it. Wow. I was trying to prepare this message, but in the end I was preparing that message. And Lord said, keep it. Keep it for another season. Wow. So the book of Isaiah is a powerful book. Amen. And then he says in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now verse 4, you will have what we call a straight line, or the measurement of the plumb line. How do you know? Well, can you imagine my left hand, right? Imagine this is the lowest point of the face of the earth, represent the valley. And my right hand represents the high point of the earth, the mountain tops. Now the scripture says in Isaiah 40 verse 4, he said every valley, the low places of the earth, will be exalted or elevated. Then he said the high point of the earth, the mountains, will be made low. So can you imagine? What do you have? A straight line. Right? A straight line. Now this is only the first mention of the straight line. It goes on to say that the crooked places like snake, will be made straight. So another straight, a line there was mentioned. And the third reference of the line, he said the rough places, you know, rough places like a bumpy road, right, made plain. I remember in 1994, I went to Burma for a mission trip with Brother Sadhu, and we were riding on the van, and we went up and down, because a lot of potholes, up and down, and it was a wonderful experience for our back. But then rough places made straight. Three mentions of the straight line. You say, Pastor, why do we need to talk about the straight line? Pastor, do you know that my heart is for revival? I tell you, when everything is straightened in your life, the glory will appear. You prayed and you prayed and you seek God for the presence, nothing appeared. Why? Something is not straight. Something is crooked in your life. Because why? When everything is straightened, the Bible says in verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. The glory only comes when you straighten your life. Is your life straight? What does the plumb line measure? It measures a straight line in our life. What do we mean? Well, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 28. And there was an interesting scripture, Isaiah 28 and verse 17. He said, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. I'm reading from the NIV version. Isaiah 28 and verse 17, I will make justice the measuring line, or we call it the straight line, and righteousness the plumb line, or the straight line. In other words, there are two straight lines that are mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 28 verse 17. The justice line and the righteous line. Amen. Whenever God manifests himself as a God of righteousness, as a God of justice, what is he trying to do? He's trying to manifest himself that I am a straight line. And everything that wants to conform himself to the image of Christ is, my image is a straight line, guess what your image must be? You must also have an image of a straight line. A straight line. Amen. Now, what kind of a straight line is Isaiah prophesying? Well, the kind of straight line, the standard of straightness in our life, it was mentioned in verse 16. Verse 16, what he's saying? See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. The cornerstone is the stone in a building from which all the other measurements are taken. Who is the cornerstone? 1 Peter chapter 2 says, Christ is that cornerstone. In other words, the standard of straightness in our life, the standard of holiness, the standard of righteousness and justice in our life, we have to take our clue, we have to take our measurement from our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is the plumb line. Our Lord Jesus is the straight line. Our Lord Jesus is the measuring line. In other words, if you don't walk with Jesus, you will not know what is straight. You cannot distinguish, you cannot differentiate between what is straight and what is crooked. Only the Lord Jesus in your life will tell you that something in your life is not straight and something in your life is commendable. Until you have the cornerstone that is a living stone alive in your life, then you will know what is straight and what is crooked. Amen. When that line appears, Pastor, what will happen? What is the consequences of the appearance and the manifestation of such a line? Isaiah goes on to say in Isaiah 28, verse 19, verse 20, and verse 22. He says, the understanding of this message will bring sure terror. Uh-oh. It's not good news. He says, when a straight line appears, he says, the understanding of this message of the straight line will bring sure terror. It brings fear into your heart. He said, why? The bait is too short to stretch out on and the blanket too narrow to wrap around you. In other words, it will make you very uncomfortable. Even in the night watches, you can't sleep. When the message appears, oh, my bait is too short, my blanket cannot comfort me, and you are very uncomfortable at night. And he goes on to say in verse 22, the Lord Almighty has told me of the destruction decreed against the whole land. That's the bad news. When the plumb line appeared, it was God making a decree. Destruction will come upon the whole land. With that understanding as our background, then tonight we can also turn to the book of Amos. Now, Amos is somewhere in the Old Testament. Give you a clue, just before Malachi. The book of Amos, alright, and Minor Prophets, chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. Amos. Now, the book of Amos can be divided into four sections. Section number 1, it talks about the proclamation of judgment. That is from chapter 1, verse 2 to chapter 2, verse 3. The second section, we call it the reasons for the judgment. That is from chapter 2, verse 4 to chapter 6, verse 9. Then the third section is called the visions of judgment. That is taken from chapter 7, verse 1 to chapter 9, verse 10. And final section, the great revival. That is from chapter 9, verse 11 to verse 15. Do you catch the hint? Most people are singing about the revival, praying about the revival. Today I was on the phone talking to someone in Taichung. We have a 1 hour talk, and he said, oh, Pastor, I know what you're saying. We're going to pray, and then we're going to bring revival. I said, in my mind, I said, you don't know what revival is. You don't know the timetable when God sent in revival. Notice, from chapter 1 to chapter 9, what happened? Talk about judgment, 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 judgment. And then, poor thing, you need to be comforted. Then I bring the revival in chapter 9. Now you know when revival comes? The more you pray, are you getting ready for the hot stuff? Oh, I want revival, pray, let's pray. God, I have a great expectation, I have great faith that revival will come to Singapore. Oh, lucky. Wait. Because before revival comes, according to the pattern of how God deals with the nations and His people. First, Amos tells us, prophets will come and proclaim judgment. Then the five home ministers will explain to you why judgment will come. And then suddenly in the prayer meeting, everybody has visions of judgment. And then when the judgment comes, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of terror, in the midst of great suffering, the new wine from heaven came. the great revival. Amen. That's the blueprint. If you want to choose any other way, try it. It won't work. The Lord gave us a blueprint in Taiwan. He said, out of the ashes will come the revival. Everything burned up. Out of the ashes will come the beauty of revival. They are still praying and they don't understand. Get ready for the hot stuff that's coming. Amen. Now, Amos chapter 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Now here, you have a picture. The first picture, you have a wall. Now, this wall, the scriptures say, it was made by a plumb line. What kind of a wall is that kind of a wall? It is made by a plumb line. It's a straight wall. Okay, now we didn't understand. That is saying, in his hand, there is a plumb line. In his hand, right? Then he says in verse 8, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And then the Lord said, behold, what do we do with a plumb line? Look at this, what he said in verse 8. Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of who? The Palestinians? No, look carefully. Not Asa, Arafat. No. He said, a plumb line in the midst of the people, my people Israel, and I will again pass by them anymore. Notice, that's how I give you a definition of a plumb line. I say a plumb line is a measuring line, a plumb line is a straight line. So when a plumb line comes, what does he do? He's trying to measure something. Measure whether something is straight or not straight, right? So he's saying, verse 8, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. Shala. Why? The Lord has come to measure the people of God. And if the people, the walls of salvation, the lives of the people are found not straight, what will happen? What is the consequence whenever you see a plumb line? When you see plumb line, ladies and gentlemen, that is... Remember I told you that song? We begin, when the plumb line appears, it's always bad news. You say, are you sure? Look with me in verse 9. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be made laid waste, and I will rise again against the house of Jeroboam with what cushion? With a sword, which means what? Death. In other words, when a plumb line appears, it's a line of judgment. It's a line of justice. And it's coming to measure the house of Israel. And when Israel is found crooked, you know how they... It's so interesting, you know. In verse 7, he saw a wall that is straightened by a plumb line. Then in verse 8, he talks about another kind of wall. He talks about the walls of salvation. Isaiah chapter 60 says, the walls of salvation of the people of God. And the people of God are not living a straight life. Verse 8 was crooked, verse 7 was straight. And when you make the comparison, you can see it so clear. So Amos saw a straight wall. Then he looked at the people of God, crooked. A straight wall, something crooked. And he knew something was wrong. And the judgment came. Why the judgment came? Because God came to measure his people. I told you, 1999, when God dropped the plumb line into the face of this earth, what is God's end time agenda? You have the latest CNN news. You have the latest prophetic news before things happen. The people prophesy to you, peace, peace, good times are coming. Get ready a big storm and stone every bluffology. Everyone who tells lies and give you bluffing reports, you tell them that is an evil report. You're trying to divert me from the truth. The plumb line has come, and in the coming days, I'm telling you the news. I'm telling you something. There is more bad news. I don't want to tell you a lie. I'm telling you the truth. Why? Because if you know the truth will set you free. Amen. We want to be a house that built on truth. Even though truth is painful, but it's good. Amen. Now, with this understanding now, Look at what Lamentation chapter 2 verse 8 say. The Lord has purpose to destroy the wall of the daughters of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying her. When the plumb line appeared, nothing will stop the hand of God. Do you say amen? No. This case I cannot agree with you. I say amen. Because prayer and intercession can't stop the hand of God. Because Lamentation 2:8 says, let me repeat it again. The Lord has purpose to destroy the wall of the daughters of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying her. In other words, God has set his mind. He says, when I put the plumb line and you are crooked, judgment is coming. And that's why God, in this end time, is raising up houses of prayer, prayer meetings, 24 hours of rotational prayer, Tabernacle of David, and so on. Why? God is saying, without prayer and intercession, then destruction, chaos, and ruin will come. But through the hand, through the travailing prayer, and the bending knees, mercy will prevail in the land. And that's why prayer meetings are very important in this end time, because the plumb line has appeared on the face of this earth since 1999. Prayer meetings is top agenda in the heart of God. And how does the destruction come? Lamentation chapter 2 verse 9 is saying, yet I destroy his root from above and his root from beneath. Fruit from above, root underneath. In other words, from the greatest to the least, from the top to the bottom, from the leadership down to the ordinary people, everyone will be shaken and affected by this judgment. Amen. Who will do such a thing? Pastor, my God that I know for so long is a God of love. God never destroyed mankind. God never do such wicked thing. No. God is a good God. Well, can I ask you a question? Is the God of the Old Testament also the God of the New Testament? Then ask yourself a question. When you read the 39 books of the Old Testament, have you found out something about God? God can be very angry. And when he gets upset, he gets a rotan. And the rotan came in the form of a sword from the nations. Am I right? God's judgment came. In fact, his wrath was so great, he told the nation of Israel, I'm going to kick you like a football, and you will roll round the globe for 1,900 years, scattered over all the face of this earth. When God gets angry, I tell you, something will happen. The God of the Old Testament is also the God of the New Testament. Amen? I can put it this way. He is the God of infinite mercy. But he is also the God of righteous severity. No, there are two facets to the character of God. The motherly nature of God, full of love. And the fatherly nature of God, full of discipline. Both are equally important. That's why to make a complete family, you must have a father and a mother. That is the picture that God gave. You say, are you sure that God is both father and mother? Have you not read Genesis 17? That God is called El Shaddai, not El Chipo. El Shaddai. He's not cheap, you know. El Shaddai, the rich and fertile God. The word El means an unmovable mountain, the picture of a father. The word Shaddai, not the word Shad in the root Hebrew, means an animal with many breasts, the motherly nature. So God is both father and mother. Amen? So he's, firstly, the God of infinite mercy, the motherly nature. But he is also a God of righteous severity. If you're naughty, I will use the rotan. How do you know? Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 11. Let's take a look at the character of God tonight. Romans chapter 11, verse 21 and 22. Romans chapter 11, verse 21. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. People only concentrate on the first part, the goodness of the Lord, but they forgot about the severity of God. On them which fell, talking about the Israelite, severity. But towards thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, in other words, if you are quite quiet, you behave properly, then you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt also be cut off. It's a warning. He said, either you are facing the goodness of the Lord, or you will face the severity of God. Your choice. If you walk in obedience, you will continue in His goodness. If you walk in disobedience, you will face the severity of God, and your branch will be cut off. Therefore, there is such a thing as the judgment of the Lord. 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins in the house of God. Have you not read the most latest CNN news in the book of Revelation? What do you find? Good news or bad news? Plagues, wars, earthquakes, judgment all over the place. That's the book that is going to happen in our lifetime. Amen? So therefore, there is two sides of God. The goodness of the Lord, but also the severity of the Lord. So who is going to bring about this judgment? Let me refer you back to Amos chapter 3. Verse 13 to 15. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Baal, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground, and I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the house of ivory shall perish, and the great house shall have an end, saith the Lord. Who is going to bring the shaking in the book of Amos? He said, I will do it. I am the one that is doing this. He prophesied and he said, I will do such a thing. Why will God do such a horrendous shaking. Why God send such judgment? If God is a God of infinite mercy, well, we have to blame someone, not the devil, but ourselves. We reap what we sow. Why? Because Amos chapter 5 verse 12 give us the answer. For I know your manifold transgression and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take away a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gates from their rights. In other words, the people oppress the poor. The people practice injustice. There was sin and manifold transgression in the land. God saw it. The cup of iniquity was full, and that's why judgment came. Not because God wants to judge Israel, but because they sow and reap what they have sown in the past. Their action caused a reaction from the heart of God. Now, if you look at Amos, and you want to find and locate, what is the book of Amos all about? When you read this book, what is God trying to gather the attention from the reader? The key verse in the book of Amos is chapter 5 and verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. In other words, what God was looking for from the book of Amos, through the mouth of the prophet, he was trying to communicate to the people of Israel. He said, unless the people walk in righteousness, my judgment will surely come. He wants the house of Israel to be a house of righteousness. Why is the shaking comes to America? Can you tell me the plain, honest answer from the bottom of your heart? Is America the most beautiful, most incorruptible nation on the face of this earth, where you find purity and righteousness all over America? No. America is full of transgression, full of sin, pornography, alcoholism, drug abuse, single parents, divorce, anything you will find, abortion. It came from where? It came from the garbage backyard from America, and it was exported all over the world and promoted as national virtue. It's okay to have abortion. It's okay to perform sin. The whole nation is in chaos, and that's why the shaking comes. God is always a God of justice. Now, what do God demand out of His people? And if His people will turn back to Him, He will stop His judgment. And this is why He said in chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, He said this: seek good and not evil, that you may live. Any nation that wants to escape the judgment of the Lord, this is what God said: seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnants of Joseph. Which nation on the face of this earth willing to walk in the way of righteousness, God's presence and God's grace will be poured out over that nation. Now, when Amos came and prophesied as a prophet to the house of Israel during the reign of King Jeroboam II in 750 BC, Amos had two occupations. He was firstly a shepherd, and secondly, he was a prophet. Why does a prophet have a twin occupation that he is also a shepherd? Because God is giving us a clue. That occupation of Amos was a parable to the nation of Israel. Why? Because in those days, when the shepherd tend the flock, they will begin to find a sheep. And most of the people that own the land, they planted many sycamore trees. And so they are willing to allow the shepherds to have their shady place under their tent, provided that they do them a favor. That is to say, you can hide from the scorching sun under the umbrella and the shade of the sycamore tree, but you must do the master a favor. That is to say, when you look up and you saw any branch that bear fruit, and fruit is about to ripe, they have to do the master a favor by using a long, sharp, pointed stick, and they will pierce the sycamore fruit. Because every sycamore fruit that is not pierced will not be ripened. So they do them a favor. So the shepherd will look up. In order for this fruit to be ripe, I have to pierce it. So he look at every branch. And the good shepherd, John, then look at every branch and look at the fruit of your life. And say, in order for you to attain maturity, to attain more fruitfulness, Jesus said, I have to come. Sorry, love, pierce you. Ouch! The ox God came and pierced you. Why? To bring fruitfulness in your life. What is this piercing? Piercing bring pain and suffering, but the end result is ripening of the fruit. What is this piercing of the sycamore? Five things. Firstly, the judgment of the nations. Because Amos chapter 1 talks about the judgment of the nations. Secondly, it talks about the judgment of the nation of Israel. That is found in chapter 2. Thirdly, this also speaks about wars that are coming. Because the book of Amos in chapter 1 verse 11 talks about the sword of the brother that will go through the land. Sword talks about warfare. Fourthly, talks about earthquakes. Chapter 1, verse 1. Amos chapter 1, verse 1. Let me read to you. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzzah, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the sons of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Amos came and prophesied judgment 2 years. And 2 years later, a big earthquake comes. In fact, this earthquake is so huge, so great in magnitude, that prophet Zechariah, 300 years later, still mentioned about the same earthquake that happens in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Such a great earthquake. Fifthly, famine. Chapter 8, verse 11. What I'm going to say is this. In the coming days, what do you expect? I want to put one word in front of every word I'm going to say. Put the word mega. Not megawati, but mega. What is mega? Mega judgment of the nations. Mega judgment of Israel. Mega wars. Mega earthquakes. Mega famine. Everything mega. Whoa. Let your faith be mega. That you believe that God will save and always deliver His people from such things. So what Amos came? He came and shared something like this. He came and shared bad news. Firstly, the nation shall be shaken. Secondly, the earth shall be shaken. Thirdly, the faith of the people will be shaken. And fourthly, the money will be shaken. Chapter 2 verse 6, chapter 8 verse 6 talk about silver that were used to buy poor people. Why? Let me tell you about the days of Jeroboam the second. The days of Amos, the people of Israel are enjoying such a high watermark of prosperity that they say the prosperity was likened unto the days of King Solomon. King Solomon was the wealthiest period that the Israelites ever enjoyed prosperity. And during the days of Amos, they were enjoying great prosperity as likened unto the days of King Solomon. Then Amos came and said, I'm sorry to tell the bad news, your money will be shaken because the Assyrian will come and attack you and you will end up in captivity. Guess what? The greatest prosperity season is from the year 1990 to the year 2000 March. They say the stock market reached the high time mark of prosperity the world have ever seen, and no other period in world history will ever beat that record. The world which we live in has enjoyed the greatest prosperity. For hundreds and hundreds of years, we have joined that season. We are living in the days of Amos. And God say, your prosperity will be shaken. And that's why I'm telling you, I've told for years, the great economic earthquake shall soon begin on the face of this earth. When it shakes, everyone will be shaken. Every nation on the face of this earth will be shaken. I've been telling people year and year again, and none believe the words. Now they say, Pastor, looks like we are going to go for a big rough ride. I say, tighten the seat belt, you'll be thrown off the seat. It's such a rough ride that you'll be thrown off the seat. He said, Pastor, if I dare, I don't dare to read the book of Amos. No, the book of Amos also has consolation news. The consolation news is, there will be the TOD. Amos chapter 9 talks about, in the last days, the tabernacle of David will be raised up. Pastor, good news, I am a TOD member, no? Singapore will start TOD. Bad news. You say, what bad news? You didn't read your Bible carefully? You thought you know what's TOD? Let me read to you what is really TOD. So that you become DOT. Alright? What is TOD? Well, look at verse 15, Amos 9, 15. Amos 9, 11. In that day, will I raise up the tabernacle of David? You thought now, mamantang. Wait. In that day, will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the bridges thereof? I will raise up his ruin. I will build it as in the days of old. Have you gone to the ruins? TOD. The spirit of TOD has not come yet. I will build it from the ruins. When judgment comes, Everybody will tolong, 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 and then you pray, and then suddenly TOD will come. Now, who want to go TOD? No, I want to go Yam Cha. I want to go drink coffee. I don't want to pray. But when the shaking comes, guess who will be in the TOD? Everyone, oh God, where's my job? Oh God, what happened to my stock? And then everyone join in, and suddenly out of the great room, God said, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. That's good news. What other good news, Pastor, can you encourage me? The second good news is the great harvest. He said the reaper will overtake the sower. There is a great harvest coming. And that's why when the plumb line come upon the face of this earth, God is saying, let your eyes go into the fields. The great harvest is about to begin. And that's why you must concentrate more on missions. Be a soul winner. Be an evangelist. Do the work of God. I told Timothy, as a brother, China is going to open up soon. Go with me to China. For Chinese people, China. For others, maybe India. But I'm telling you, the harvest field will be ripe and open. Indonesia too. So get ready. Get ready and say, this saving is not for holiday, but for mission trip. Amen. In the end times, to get the souls in the fields ripen and reap it into the hands of God. Amen. Now, from good news, let's turn back to bad news. How will the judgment? Can you tell me something? So now I'm going to tell you something that is beyond your understanding, but when it happens in future, you know that the watchmen have told you tonight. The judgment of the nation will begin like this. It begins with America. After America, Japan. After Japan, United Kingdom. After United Kingdom, Germany. After Germany, the African continent. You said, how about other nations? They are also included, but I'm speaking about the prominent nations. Watch. America now is hot news. Watch for the next hot news online. It will be Japan. Japan will be the next nation that will be terribly shaken. And you say, why? Because God wants to save the nation. The nation out of the worship of sun. And he said, I'm going to introduce the sun of righteousness to that nation. Amen? Now, with that, what is God trying to say to us tonight? 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 2. He says this, and he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground, even with two lines. Measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. 2 Samuel chapter 8 verse 2, he said there are two lines. Line up properly. Get into the queue. One line says, Mati, you will die if you line up it along Moab. But there's another line that will keep you alive. Which line will you fall in? Life or death? Is in your hands. That's what God said. You want to go into the bad books of judgment? You cross over the line of God's standard of holiness, and you went into transgression, and then you will meet death. I'll conclude with Amos chapter 5, verse 6. Seek the Lord, and you shall live. When all these things is going to happen, you know what God is saying to us? Don't seek after whether the stock market is going to go up or go down. Don't seek for anything. Seek the Lord. The Lord is our refuge. Always remember Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. The name of the Lord is our refuge place. Amen. Seek the Lord. Don't seek any other thing. Don't even worry about the bad news that you have heard tonight. The most important thing. Love the Lord, seek the Lord, and you may live. Then he says, if you don't do such a thing, lest he breaks out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in battle. There will be a fire in the house of God. Bethel means house of God. What I'm trying to say to you is, God is coming to battle as the consuming fire in the last days. I'm going to give you a few things. You can write it down. Firstly, you must understand this. Be prepared to walk through a season of fire. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. The refiner's fire is coming. The Spirit of Jesus is coming to the church with a fire, and judgment is coming. And this will be the few things that I'm going to give you from A to I. First, A. The intense heat of this fire will burn through the structure of the church. Watch. Denominations will be shaken through this coming fire. Secondly, this fire will purge every and all believers. Mark chapter 9 verse 49 say, for even everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 9, one third of them will have to go through the fire. Every believer will go through the fire. See, the fire of the Holy Spirit will consume our self-life. Why the fire must come? Because we have to deal with our self-life, our selfishness. Some people tell us, Pastor, you know what's nowadays? I'm holy. I spend time with God. I say, bluff. Self-preservation. You want to preserve your job. That's why now you pray, hoping that God will spare you of your job. You think, I don't know. Last time you watched TV, now that you pray, because now your job is shaken. So you say you're holy? No, you're not holy. God wants to consume all self-life. Fourthly, the fire of God's wrath will consume the wicked. Fifthly, our faith will be tested and tried in the fire. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And sixthly, our works and ministry will be tried and tested by fire. The motivation of our heart, why we serve the Lord, everything, why do you pray? Why do you give to God? Why do you serve God and serve tables? Everything will be tested by the fire. This is good news. To prepare for the coming fire, you must now learn to walk in the fear of your God. The next point, this fire is to tell you the coming prediction, the coming persecution of the saints. Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, the Antichrist will try his best to wear out the saints. The coming persecution of the saints. I cannot tell you this point. If I tell you what I know, I guarantee you 3 days, 3 nights, you will not even sleep. You will go mad. If you know what is coming. That's why the Lord said 3 shakings are coming. He said you can only write the first shaking, but the second and the third don't write. The church will not want to hear what is coming. And finally, a fresh new revelation of the holiness of God is coming to the church. The church shall be baptized with the holiness of God. Tonight, very simply, are you ready for the fire? Are you ready for the shaking? Are you ready for God to put a plumb line into your life to measure you? What is the degree of your readiness? If God is a consuming fire and He comes tonight, are you ready? The answer is very obvious. Since all of us are not ready, why don't we spend some time? Just prepare our heart and say, Lord, I'm not ready. Ask the Lord to deal with us. And after dealing with us, we'll prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. If our heart is not pure, we cannot take communion. So let us use this time. You can close your eyes, just between you and the Lord. Just say, Lord, search my heart tonight. Like Psalms 139. If there is any wicked thing in me, purge it tonight. If there's any deceitful sin, any secret sins in my heart, tonight, may you expose it. May you remove it from my life. You are the gardener. May you prune my branch so that I will only be like Levites that offer fruits and gifts of righteousness unto a holy God. It's between you and the Lord.